Welcome to this healing meeting at prayerfulgathering.com. The topic of today's meeting is complaint and overcoming the urge to complain. I'll be reading from the King James Version of the Bible and correlative passages from the Christian Science textbook, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy, the discoverer and founder of Christian Science. The Bible, Habakkuk. The burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. O Lord, how long shall I cry, and thou wilt not hear? Even cry out unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not save. Why dost thou show me iniquity, and cause me to behold grievance? For spoiling and violence are before me, and there are that raise strife and contention. Proverbs. All the days of the afflicted are evil. But he that is of a merry heart hath a continual feast. Exodus. And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. And the Lord said unto him, Who hath made man's mouth, or who maketh the dumb and deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. And he said, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him who thou wilt send. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. And he said, Is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak well. And also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee. And when he seeth thee, he will be glad in his heart. And thou shalt speak unto him, and put words in his mouth. And I will be with thy mouth, and with his mouth, and will teach you what ye shall do. And he shall be thy spokesman unto the people. And he shall be, even he shall be to thee instead of a mouth. And thou shalt be to him instead of God. And thou shalt take this rod in thine hand, wherewith thou shalt do signs. Numbers. And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people spake against God and against Moses, Wherefore have ye brought us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, Make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass, that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass, and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass, that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. Luke. And he said, A certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. And the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this thy son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I any time at thy commandment. And yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. And he spake a parable to them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, There was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, Avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, Though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, Hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, even though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his words. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Proverbs, a merry heart doeth good like medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. Now, from Science and Health. If parents create in their babes a desire for incessant amusement, to be always fed, rocked, tossed, or talked to, those parents should not in after years complain of their children's fretfulness or frivolity, which the parents themselves have occasioned. Taking less thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, less thought for your body, what you shall put on, will do much more for the health of the rising generation than you dream. The higher nature of man is not governed by the lower. If it were, the order of wisdom would be reversed. Our false views of life hide eternal harmony and produce the ills of which we complain, Because mortals believe in material laws and reject the science of mind, this does not make materiality first and the superior law of soul last. If we are ungrateful for life, truth, and love, and yet return thanks to God for all blessings, we are insincere and incur the sharp censure our master pronounces on hypocrites. In such a case, the only acceptable prayer is to put the finger on the lips and remember our blessings. While the heart is far from divine truth and love, we cannot conceal the ingratitude of barren lives. Justice is the moral signification of law. Injustice declares the absence of law. When the body is supposed to say, "I am sick," never plead guilty. Since matter cannot talk, it must be mortal mind which speaks. Therefore, meet the intimation with a protest. If you say, "I am sick," you plead guilty. Then your adversary will deliver you to the judge, mortal mind, and the judge will sentence you. Disease has no intelligence to declare itself something and announce its name. Mortal mind alone sentences itself. Therefore, make your own terms with sickness and be just to yourself and to others. Mentally contradict every complaint from the body and rise to the true consciousness of life as love, as all that is pure and bearing the fruits of spirit. Fear is the fountain of sickness, and you master fear and sin through divine mind. Hence, it is through divine mind that you overcome disease. Only while fear or sin remains can it bring forth death. To cure a bodily ailment, every broken moral law should be taken into account and the error rebuked. Fear, which is an element of all disease, must be cast out to readjust the balance for God. Casting out evil and fear enables truth to outweigh error. The only course is to take antagonistic grounds against all that is opposed to the health, holiness, and harmony of man, God's image. The physical affirmation of disease should always be met with the mental negation. Are we really grateful for the good already received? Then we shall avail ourselves of the blessings we have and thus be fitted to receive more. Gratitude is much more than a verbal expression of thanks. Action expresses more gratitude than speech. St. John writes in the 10th chapter of his book of Revelation, "And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head. And his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot upon the earth." The inaudible voice of truth is to the human mind as when a lion roareth. It is heard in the desert and in dark places of fear. It arouses the seven thunders of evil and stirs their latent forces to utter the full diapason of secret tones. Then is the power of truth demonstrated, made manifest in the destruction of error. Then will a voice from harmony cry, "Go and take the little book, take it and eat it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey." Mortals, obey the heavenly evangel. Take divine science. Read this book from beginning to end. Study it, ponder it, and it will be indeed sweet at its first taste when it heals you. But murmur not over truth. If you find its digestion bitter, when you approach nearer and nearer to this divine principle, when you eat the divine body of this principle, thus partaking of the nature or primal elements of truth and love, Do not be surprised nor discontented because you must share the hemlock cup and eat the bitter herbs. For the Israelites of old, at the paschal meal, thus prefigured this perilous passage out of bondage into the El Dorado of faith and hope. In those days, there will be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world, and earth will echo the cry, "Art thou truth come hither to torment us before the time?" There is a large class of thinkers whose bigotry and conceit twist every fact to suit themselves. Their creed teaches a belief in a mysterious supernatural God and in a natural all-powerful devil. Another class, still more unfortunate, are so depraved that they appear to be innocent. They utter a falsehood while looking you blandly in the face, and they never fail to stab their benefactor in the back. A third class of thinkers build with solid masonry. They are sincere, generous, noble, and are therefore open to the approach and recognition of truth. To teach Christian Science to such as these is no task. They do not incline longingly to error, whine over the demands of truth, nor play the traitor for place and power. Some people yield slowly to the touch of truth. Few yield without a struggle, and many are reluctant to acknowledge that they have yielded. But unless this admission is made, evil will boast itself above good. The apostle says, "For if a man thinketh himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself." This thought of human material nothingness, which science inculcates, enrages the carnal mind and is the main cause of the carnal mind's antagonism. It is not the purpose of Christian Science to educate the idea of God or treat it for disease, as is alleged by one critic. I regret that such criticism confounds man with Adam. The mythical human theories of creation, anciently classified as the higher criticism, sprang from cultured scholars in Rome and in Greece, but they afforded no foundation for accurate views of creation by the divine mind. The statement that the teachings of Christian Science and this work are absolutely false and the most egregious fallacies ever offered for acceptance is an opinion wholly due to a misapprehension both of the divine principle and practice of Christian Science and to a consequent inability to demonstrate this science. Without this understanding, no one is capable of impartial or correct criticism because demonstration and spiritual understanding are God's immortal keynotes, proved to be such by our Master and evidenced by the sick who are cured by this and by the sinners who are reformed. This book may be distorted by shallow criticism or by careless or malicious students, and its ideas may be temporarily abused and misrepresented, but the science and truth therein will forever remain to be discerned and demonstrated. Eternal truth is changing the universe. As mortals drop off their mental swaddling clothes, thought expands into expression, "Let there be light," is the perpetual demand of truth and love, changing chaos into order and discord into the music of the spheres. This concludes the healing message and publicly recorded portion of the meeting. Now we'll begin the meditation and prayer portion of the meeting by listening to "In This Very Room." prayed together in silence for a few minutes and then joined together in praying aloud the Lord's Prayer. This will be followed by a musical interpretation of the Lord's Prayer. And together, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever.
Forgive us our